Chapter 18. Before my Lord Keeper and Lord Rivers, that I had been foolish enough to spend my credit with them in favor of Addison and Steele, but that I would engage and promise never to say one word in their behalf, having been used so ill for what I had already done. So, now I am got into the way of prating again, there will be no quiet for me. When Presto begins to prate, give him a rap upon the pate. O Lord, how I blot, it is time to leave off, etc. 17. Giscard died this morning at 2, and the coroner's inquest have found that he was killed by bruises received from a messenger, so to clear the cabinet councillors from whom he received his wounds. I had a letter from Raymond, who cannot hear of your box, but I hope you have it before this comes to your hands. I dined today with Mr. Lewis of the Secretary's office. Mr. Harley has abundance of extravasated blood comes from his breast out of his wound, and will not be well so soon as we expected. I had something to say, but cannot call it to mind. What was it? 18. I was today at court to look for the Duke of Argyle, and gave him the memorial about Burnage. The Duke goes with the first fair wind. I could not find him, but I have given the memorial to another to give him, and, however, it shall be sent after him. Burnage has made a blunder in offering money to his colonel without my advice. However, he is made captain-lieutenant, only he must recruit the company, which will cost him £40, and that is cheaper than £100. I dined today with Mr. Secretary St. John, and stayed till 7, but would not drink his champagne and burgundy, for fear of the gout. My shin mends, but is not well. I hope it will by the time I send this letter, next Saturday. 19. I went today into the city, but in a coach, and sauced 9 up my leg on the seat, and as I came home, I went to see poor Charles Barnard's 10 books, which are to be sold by auction, and I itch to lay out 9 or 10 pounds for some fine editions of fine authors. But 'tis too far, and I shall let it slip, as I usually do all such opportunities. I dined in a coffee house with Stratford upon chops and some of his wine. Where did M.D. dine? Why, poor M.D. dined at home today, because of the Archbishop, and they could not go abroad, and had a breast of mutton and a pint of wine. I hope Mrs. Walls mends, and pray give me an account what sort of godfather I made, and whether I behaved myself handsomely. The Duke of Argyle is gone, and whether he has my memorial, I know not, till I see Dr. Arbuthnot, 11, to whom I gave it. That hard name belongs to a Scotch doctor, an acquaintance of the Duke's and me. Stella can't pronounce it. Oh, that we were at Larriker this fine day! The willows begin to peep, and the quicks to bud. My dream is out. I was dreamed last night that I ate ripe cherries. And now they begin to catch the pikes, and will shortly the trouts pox on these ministers. And I would fain know whether the floods were ever so high as to get over the holly bank or the river walk. If so, then all my pikes are gone, but I hope not. Why don't you ask Parvisel these things, sirs? And then my canal, and trouts, and whether the bottom be fine and clear? But Archie, ought not Parvisel to pay in my last year's rents, and arrears out of his hands? I am thinking, if either of you have heads to take his accounts, it should be paid in to you, otherwise to Mr. Walls. I will write an order on t'other side, and do as you will. Here's a world of business. But I must go sleep, I'm drowsy, and so good night, etc. 20. This sore shin ruins me in coach hire, no less than 2 shillings today going and coming from the city, where I dined with one you never heard of, and passed an insipid day. I writ this post to Burnage, with the account I told you above. I hope he will like it, 'tis his own fault, or it would have been better. I reckon your next letter will be full of Mr. Harley's stabbing. He still mends, but abundance of extravasated blood has come out of the wound. He keeps his bed, and sees nobody. The speaker's eldest son, 12, is just dead of the smallpox, and the house is adjourned a week, to give him time to wipe off his tears. I think it very handsomely done, but I believe one reason is, that they want Mr. Harley so much. Biddy Floyd is like to do well. And so go to your dean's, and roast his oranges, and lose your money, do so, you saucy sluts. Stella, you lost 3 shillings and 4 pence t'other night at Stoitz. Yes, you did, and Presto stood in a corner, and saw you all the while, and then stole away. I dream very often I am in Ireland, and that I have left my clothes and things behind me, and have not taken leave of anybody, and that the ministry expect me tomorrow, and such nonsense. 21. I would not for a guinea have a letter from you till this goes, and go it shall on Saturday, faith. I dined with Mrs. Van Homry, to save my shin, and then went on some business to the secretary, and he was not at home. 22. Yesterday was a short day's journal. But what care I? What cares saucy Presto? Dartnoof, 13, invited me to dinner today. Do not you know Dartnoof? That's the man that knows everything, and that everybody knows, and that knows where a knot of rabble are going on a holiday, and when they were there last. And then I went to the coffee house. My shin mends, but is not quite healed. I ought to keep it up, but I don't. I e'en let it go as it comes. Pox take Parvisel and his watch. If I do not receive the £10 bill I am to get towards it, I will neither receive watch nor chain, so let Parvisel know. 23. I this day appointed the Duke of Ormond, to meet him at Ned Southwell's, about an affair of printing Irish prayer books, etc. 14. But the Duke never came. There Southwell had letters, that 2 packets are taken, so if M.D. writ then, the letters are gone. For they are packets coming hither. Mr. Harley is not yet well, but his extravasated blood continues, and I doubt he will not be quite well in a good while. I find you have heard of the fact by Southwell's letters from Ireland. What do you think of it? I dined with Sir John Percival, 15, and saw his lady sitting in the bed, in the forms of a lying-in woman. And coming home my sore shin itched, and I forgot what it was, and rubbed off the scab, and blood came, but I am now got into bed, and have put on the lum curd, and it is almost well. Lord Rivers told me yesterday a piece of bad news, as a secret, that the pretender is going to be married to the Duke of Savoy's daughter. 16. 'Tis very bad, if it be true. We were walking in the mall with some Scotch lords, and he could not tell it until they were gone, and he bade me tell it to none, but the Secretary of State and M.D. This goes tomorrow, and I have no room, but to bid my dearest little M.D. good night. 24. I will now seal up this letter, and send it, for I reckon to have none from you, 'tis morning now, between this and night, and I will put it in the post with my own hands. I am going out in great haste, so farewell, etc. Letter 19. London, March 24, 1710-11. It was a little cross in Presto, not to send today to the coffee house to see whether there was a letter from M.D., before I sent away mine. But, faith, I did it on purpose, because I would scorn to answer 2 letters of yours successively. This way of journal is the worst in the world for writing of news, unless one does it the last day, and so I will observe henceforward, if there be any politics or stuff worth sending. My shin mends in spite of the scratching last night. I dined today at Ned Southwell's with the Bishop of Ossory 1, and a parcel of Irish gentlemen. Have you yet seen any of the spectators? Just 3 weeks today, since I had your last, N. 11. I am afraid I have lost one by the packet that was taken. That will vex me, considering the pains M.D. take to write, especially poor pretty Stella, and her weak eyes. God bless them and the owner, and send them well, and little me together, I hope ere long. This illness of Mr. Harley puts everything backwards, and he is still down, and like to be so, by that extravasated blood which comes from his breast to the wound. It was by the second blow Giscard gave him after the penknife was broken. I am shocked at that villainy, whenever I think of it. Biddy Floyd is past danger, but will lose all her beauty. She had them mighty thick, especially about her nose. 25. Morning. I wish you a merry new year. This is the first day of the year, you know, with us, and 'tis Lady Day. I must rise and go to my Lord Keeper. It is not shaving day today, so I shall be early. I am to dine with Mr. Secretary St. John. Good morrow, my mistresses both. Good morrow. Stella will be peeping out of her room at Mrs. De Cotter's, too, down upon the folks as they come from church. And there comes Mrs. Proby, 3, and that is my Lady Southwell, 4, and there is Lady Betty Rochford. 5, I long to hear how you are settled in your new lodgings. I wish I were rid of my old ones, and that Mrs. Brent could contrive to put up my books in boxes, and lodge them in some safe place, and you keep my papers of importance. But I must rise, I tell you, at night. So I visited and dined as I told you, and what of that? We have let Giscard be buried at last, after showing him pickled in a trough this fortnight for 2 pence apiece. And the fellow that showed would point to his body, and, see, gentlemen, this is the wound that was given him by His Grace the Duke of Ormond, and this is the wound, etc., and then the show was over, and another set of rabble came in. 'Tis hard our laws would not suffer us to hang his body in chains, because he was not tried, and in the eye of our law every man is innocent till then. Mr. Harley is still very weak, and never out of bed. 26. This was a most delicious day, and my shin being past danger, I walked like lightning above 2 hours in the park. We have generally one fair day, and then a great deal of rain for 3 or 4 days together. All things are at a stop in Parliament for want of Mr. Harley. They cannot stir an inch without him in their most material affairs. And we fear, by the caprice of Radcliffe, who will admit none but his own surgeon, 6, he has not been well looked after. I dined at an alehouse with Mr. Lewis, but had his wine. Don't you begin to see the flowers and blossoms of the field? How busy should I be now at Lyricer? No news of your box? I hope you have it, and are this minute drinking the chocolate, and that the smell of the Brazil tobacco has not affected it. I would be glad to know whether you like it, because I would send you more by people that are now every day thinking of going to Ireland. Therefore pray tell me, and tell me soon. And I will have the strong box. 27. A rainy, wretched, scurvy day from morning till night. And my neighbor Van Omri invited me to dine with him, and this evening I passed at Mr. Pryor's with Dr. Frayne. And 'tis now past 12, so I must go sleep. 28. Morning. Oh, faith, you're an impudent saucy couple of sluttikins for presuming to write so soon, said I to myself this morning. Who knows but there may be a letter from M.D. at the coffee house. Well, you must know, and so, I just now sent Patrick, and he brought me 3 letters, but not one from M.D., no indeed, for I read all the superscriptions, and not one from M.D. When I opened, it was from the Archbishop. 7, t'other I opened, it was from Staunton. 8, the third I took, and looked at the hand. Whose hand is this? Says I. Yes, says I, whose hand is this? Then there was wax between the folds. Then I began to suspect. Then I peeped. Faith, it was Wall's hand after all. Then I opened it in a rage, and then it was little M.D.'s hand, dear, little pretty charming M.D.'s sweet hand again. Oh Lord, and here a clutter and a stir, and a bustle? Never saw the like. Faith, I believe yours lay some days at the post office, and that it came before my 18th went, but that I did not expect it, and I hardly ever go there. Well, and so you think I'll answer this letter now? No, faith. And so I won't. I'll make you wait, young women, but I'll inquire immediately about poor Dingley's exchequer trangum. 9, what, is that Vettel again a soldier? Was he broke? I'll put it in Ben Took's hand. I hope Vettel could not sell it. At night. Vedel, Vedel, Po, Pox, I think it is Vedo. 10, A, Vedo, now I have it. Let me see, do you name him in yours? Yes, Mr. John Vedo is the brother, but where does this brother live? I linger. This was a fast day for the public, so I dined late with Sir Matthew Dudley, whom I have not been with a great while. He is one of those that must lose his employment whenever the great shake comes, and I can't contribute to keep him in, though I have dropped words in his favor to the ministry. But he is too violent a Whig, and friend to the Lord Treasurer, 11, to stay in. Tis odd to think how long they let those people keep their places, but the reason is, they have not enough to satisfy all expectors, and so they keep them all in hopes that they may be good boys in the meantime, and thus the old ones hold in still. The controller, 12, told me that there are 8 people expect his staff. I walked after dinner today round the park. What, do I write politics to little young women? Hold your tongue, and go to your dean's. 29. Morning. If this be a fine day, I will walk into the city, and see Charles Barnard's library. What care I for your letter, saucy N? 12. I will say nothing to it yet. Faith, I believe this will be full before its time, and then go it must. I will always write once a fortnight, and if it goes sooner by filling sooner, why, then there is so much clear gain. Moro, rogues and lasses both, I can't lie scribbling here in bed for your play, I must rise, and so moro again. At night. Your friend Montgomery and his sister are here, as I am told by Patrick. I have seen him often, but take no notice of him. He is grown very ugly and pimpled. They tell me he is a gamester, and wins money. How could I help it, pray? Patrick snuffed the candle too short, and the grease ran down upon the paper. 13, it ain't my fault, tis Patrick's fault. Pray now don't blame Presto. I walked today in the city, and dined at a private house, and went to see the auction of poor Charles Barnard's books. They were in the middle of the physic books, so I bought none. And they are so dear, I believe I shall buy none, and there is an end, and go to Stoitz, and I'll go sleep. 30. Morning. This is Good Friday, you must know, and I must rise and go to Mr. Secretary about some business, and Mrs. Van Omri desires me to breakfast with her, because she is too interested for Patrick, who is so often drunk and quarrelsome in the house, that I was resolved to send him over. But he knows all the places where I send, and is so used to my ways, that it would be inconvenient to me. But when I come to Ireland, I will discharge him. 14, Sir Thomas Mansell, 15, one of the lords of the treasury, setting me down at my door today, saw Patrick, and swore he was a Teaglander. 16, I am so used to his face, I never observed it, but thought him a pretty fellow. Sir Andrew Fountain and I supped this fast day with Mrs. Van Omri. We were afraid Mr. Harley's wound would turn to a fistula, but we think the danger is now past. He rises every day, and walks about his room, and we hope he will be out in a fortnight. Prior showed me a handsome paper of verses he has writ on Mr. Harley's accident. 17, they are not out. I will send them to you, if he will give me a copy. 31. Morning. What shall we do to make April fools this year, now it happens on Sunday? Patrick brings word that Mr. Harley still mends, and is up every day. I design to see him in a few days. And he brings me word too, that he has found out Vedo's brother's shop. I shall call there in a day or two. It seems the wife lodges next door to the brother. I doubt the scoundrel was broke, and got a commission, or perhaps is a volunteer gentleman, and expects to get one by his valor. Moro, sirs, let me rise. At night. I dined today with Sir Thomas Mansell. We were walking in the park, and Mr. Lewis came to us. Mansell asked where we dined. We said, together. He said, we should dine with him, only his wife, 18, desired him to bring nobody, because as he had only a leg of mutton. I said I would dine with him to choose, but he would send a servant, to order a plate or two. Yet this man has 10,000 pounds a year in land, and is a lord of the treasury, and is not covetous neither, but runs out merely by slathering, 19, and negligence. The worst dinner I ever saw at the dean's was better. But so it is with abundance of people here. I called at night at Mr. Harley's, who begins to walk in his room with a stick, but is mighty weak. See how much I have lost with that ugly grease. 20, 'tis your fault, pray, and I'll go to bed. April 1. The Duke of Buckingham's house fell down last night with an earthquake, and is half swallowed up. Won't you go and see it? An April Fool, oh ho, young women. Well, don't be angry. I will make you an April Fool no more till the next time. We had no sport here, because it is Sunday, and Easter Sunday. I dined with the secretary, who seemed terribly down and melancholy, which Mr. Pryor and Lewis observed as well as I. Perhaps something has gone wrong, perhaps there is nothing in it. God bless my own dearest M.D., and all is well. 2. We have such windy weather, 'tis troublesome walking, yet all the rabble have got into our park these Easter holidays. I am plagued with one Richardson, an Irish parson, and his project of printing Irish Bibles, etc., comma, to make you Christians in that country. I befriend him what I can, on account of the Archbishop and Bishop of Clare. But what business have I to meddle, etc.? Do not you remember that, Sir Estella? What was that about, when you thought I was meddling with something that was not my business? Oh, Faith, you are an impudent slut. I remember your doings. I'll never forget you, as long as I live. Lewis and I dined together at his lodgings. But where's the answer to this letter of M.D.'s? Oh, Faith, presto, you must think of that. Time enough, says saucy Presto. 3. I was this morning to see Mrs. Barton. I love her better than anybody here, and see her seldomer. Why, really now, so it often happens in the world, that where one loves a body best, you are so silly with your moral observations. Well, but she told me a very good story. An old gentlewoman died here 2 months ago, and left in her will, to have 8 men and 8 maids-bearers, who should have 2 guineas apiece, 10 guineas to the parson for a sermon, and 2 guineas to the clerk. But bearers, parson, and clerk must be all true virgins, and not to be admitted till they took their oaths of virginity. So the poor woman still lies unburied, and so must do till the general resurrection. I called at Mr. Secretary's, to see what the D.A. ailed him on Sunday. I made him a very proper speech, told him I observed he was much out of temper, that I did not expect he would tell me the cause, but would be glad to see he was in better, and one thing I warned him of, never to appear cold to me, for I would not be treated like a schoolboy, that I had felt too much of that in my life already, meaning from Sir William Temple, that I expected every great minister who honored me with his acquaintance, if he heard, or saw anything to my disadvantage, would let me know it in plain words, and not put me in pain to guess by the change, or coldness of his countenance or behavior, for it was what I would hardly bear from a crowned head, and I thought, no subject's favor was worth it, and that I designed to let my Lord Keeper, 21, and Mr. Harley know the same thing, that they might use me accordingly. He took all right, said I had reason, vowed nothing ailed him, but sitting up whole nights at business, and one night at drinking, would have had me dine with him, and Mrs. Masham's brother, to make Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.